Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Pit Pass USA. Glad to have you on board. Hopefully, wherever you are, it is cooler than it has been where I live. We're only looking at 102 degrees today. This is Southern Indiana. It's going to be fun this weekend at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the Brickyard 400 nationwide there, and also, of course, the Grand Am Rolex Series. In fact, we will find out about that first-ever race in Indianapolis. We'll talk to Ricky Taylor from Sun Trust Racing, driving the Corvette Daytona prototype. While we're on the subject of sports car racing, how about Scott Sharp? His Extreme Speed Motorsports team winning in the American Le Mans Series for the first time. We'll catch up with Scott. IndyCar off this week before going to Mid-Ohio. We will talk to Charlie Kimball about his season. And, oh, yeah, a little NHRA, too. How about Antron Brown? He was Top Fuel winner last week in Denver. He's looking for another win this weekend at Sonoma. All of that coming up here on Pit Pass USA. This weekend, a first time ever at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Grand Am Rolex Series is going to be racing, and a young man who's looking forward to racing there, of course, and wants to be putting his name on the trophy as the first ever winner in the Grand Am Rolex Series in Indianapolis. Driver, co-driver of the number 10 SunTrust Racing Corvette, Ricky Taylor. Ricky, thanks for joining me, and you got to be excited about the weekend.
Oh, for sure. I mean, as you said, the first time for the Rolex Series going to the Brickyard, you know, such a famous track, such a famous event, you know, with the Brickyard 400 weekend. And our team actually being based right here in Indianapolis, just a great formula. I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, you guys did the test a few weeks ago, and you had great success in the test at Indianapolis.
Yeah, we ended up quickest at the test a couple weeks ago. And, I mean, that normally they say, you know, you can't win a test, but it sure felt good. I mean, you know, going into the race weekend, we only have an hour of practice, and we're straight into qualifying and then straight into the race. So, I mean, there's not going to be a lot of time to tune on the car and you know, make it really comfortable. So now that we hope we've got a good starting spot, hopefully that will bode well for the race week.
How tough is this track, and how do you compare it to anything else you run? I know, one, it's with Indianapolis, so it's hard to compare it from that standpoint alone. But with all the turns and the straightaways and then going counter race to what we normally see during the Indianapolis 500 when you get out on the big track.
Yeah, it is. It's quite a unique track. I mean, in a sense, it is a roval, a road course and oval, similar to Daytona and Homestead, which we do. But the track surface is very, very different from anything else we race on. The oval portion is very grippy, very abrasive, very hard on tires. And then the infield is very, very low grip. And actually, it's very difficult to put rubber down on the track. And just that compromise, and, you know, you got the super long straight, and Indianapolis is all about, you know, going fast, top speed and everything. But then you got that tight infield, so it's a big compromise as far as the setup goes. So in that sense, it's a lot like Daytona for the 24-hour.
And that's one of the things that people may not realize. A lot of the infield portion of the track you're going to be running on at Indianapolis are basically roads. I've driven many of those roads several times over the years I've been at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. They're just normally roads that they have that go through the middle of the infield, and there isn't any rubber on these areas.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I mean, when we were here for the test, normally you're used to seeing the rubber laid down on the racing line, but in this case it was completely white, and it actually looked quite strange to drive on. Not a lot of references, took a long time to actually put rubber down. But Continental Tire, our tire supporter, they did a good job, you know, building us a good tire for Indianapolis, and we're able to kind of rubber the back in a bit better.
Time with Ricky Taylor, who co-drives the number 10 SunTrust Racing Corvette in the day Grand Am Rolex Series, getting ready for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The debut of the series there, drives with Max Angelelli. And you've got a very short practice time, short qualifying and racing all in the same day. What's that going to be like for you, this one-day event?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Most weekends, you know, we have 2 or 3 hours of practice, but in this case, it's only 1 hour. And, you know, most of the time you're planning for the weekend and, you know, an hour, that's plenty. You know, we can both get half an hour of track time. But, once, you know, the yellows are coming out and people are stuck in the gravel traps and we're making adjustments on the cars, it's going to be tough to get 5-10 laps each. So it's going to be very important to unload off the trailer well, which again, you know, is a good sign that we had a good test. So hopefully we'll unload how we finished, but it's just going to be a big rush to get track time, make sure the car is right, and then qualify well for our 3-hour race on Friday evening.
Well, you talked a little bit about this when you were out in the test picking up reference points, and I'm assuming that this Friday there's going to be signage around the racetrack that wasn't there during the test. How does that affect you when you're trying to, you've only got the limited time to get set up, to get ready to go qualifying, which is going to be key, and then the race itself and picking up all the signage and figuring out where your turn-in points are and all the references in just a handful of laps?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, although it is just kind of temporary stuff, it really does change your sight picture of each corner and kind of changes, you know, what everything looks like. But I think I've got my references down. I always do a track map after every test, so I have my references written down. Normally the signboards for the braking markers and stuff are pretty consistent, so hopefully not much changes. Or about to kind of relearn a few things, but it's going to be a pretty cool day, I think, with all the support we've had from IMS and all the Rolex Series guys. It's been pretty exciting.
Ricky, this season for you has been very much an up-and-down season. Started with a 14th down at the Rolex 24, and that happens to a lot of people in a long race. And then you get a 5th at Barber, and back-to-back wins at Homestead in New Jersey. And then it's just been various things, mistakes on the track. I remember Watkins Glen, mechanical problems, sidelined your car in the 6 hours. It's just been a stretch of 4 races where anything and everything that could happen to the team has happened to the team.
Yeah, it's been really a rough stretch, especially for me. I feel like I've let the team down on a couple of occasions, really made pretty bad mistakes. I think the one good sign is that we've been fast everywhere we've gone, and we've been when we have dropped out of the race, we've been fighting for wins, and hopefully we can, you know, pick up that streak and, you know, drop all the negatives. But we're coming into the weekend on a high note after a good test at Speedway earlier this month, a good test at Watkins Glen just last week, and I think the whole team is very upbeat, and I'm definitely excited, looking forward to it. So hopefully all that bad luck and bad driving on my part is behind us.
Yeah, it has been kind of an interesting run. I know the two incidents that you had, the one at Detroit and then, of course, the one at Road America. But then, as I mentioned, Watkins Glen, it was a mechanical problem that sidelined you. You had a pretty quick car there at Watkins Glen, and now you've had time to, okay, step back a little bit, get everybody refocused for these final 4 events of the year, beginning with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway this weekend, which is, where do you put this? In everything, going to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Yeah, you've run the Rolex 24, but there's only one chance to be the first ever in anything, and this is it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think, you know, everybody thinks of our series kind of built around the Rolex 24, but here coming to Indianapolis, such a historic track for the first time since Formula One raced on the road course, and just can't say enough about how special a feeling it is for me and for the whole team. From being an Indy for so long, just such a great feeling, and you know, to win the first one Like you said, there's only, you know, that one opportunity to be the first, and just hopefully we can, you know, capture that and, you know, don't make any mistakes and have a great day.
I don't know what it's like going counter race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I've gone the other way several times in pace cars and other vehicles through my years being at the Speedway. What was it like the first time you came out of the infield and came up into turn one going counter racing down that straightaway and looking at all those big grandstands?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's really a humongous track. And I've only really watched the 500 and the 400 on TV. But I didn't realize how narrow the track was. And, I mean, the TV really gives us a lot of width. And you see people going two and three wide through there, and I can't believe it. And then, you know, the grandstands are absolutely massive. It's like driving through a tunnel, going down the front straight. And, just really, really kind of gives you goosebumps going over the bricks. You got the pagoda there, the big scoring pylon. So it's really special and really, you know, for a driver, it gives a lot of drivers chills just walking into that place.
I just got thinking about this. I know the Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge is going to race before you guys go on the track in the Grand Am Rolex. Is that going to help you with grip and laying some rubber down? Because they're going to have a gazillion cars in the Continental Tire Series as they normally do. Will that help you when you get to the race itself following their race?
I hope so. We had the test earlier in the month. They were there with us. So they had we had plenty of time to rubber the track in. So obviously we ended the test with the quickest time in the very last session as the track was rubbering in. So the more cars, the better for us. I think the closer track condition we can get to the test, the happier we'll be. So hopefully, you know, I think they've got 70-something cars going there. And, I mean, that race is always one of the most exciting every single weekend. So really looking forward to it. Hopefully I can watch a bit of it, too. It should be good.
And one thing, make sure your cool suit is working properly because it looks like we're going to be in at least the low 90s this weekend. At least that's the forecast I have seen, and maybe high humidities. I know that's actually cooler by about 15 degrees than what it was when you were testing there a few weeks ago. But it looks like it's going to be hot, which can kind of make it slippery, and that track is temperature sensitive. At least it has been with Indy cars in the past.
Yeah, I think the temperature is definitely going to be a big thing. When we were there testing, it was very, very hot. But the tire degradation was quite good. I think the tire wear was okay. So that's worst case scenario. So when we go back, if it's any cooler, that can only be a positive. So I mean, as far as the drivers going, like you said, we want the cool suit on. And that's definitely a lifesaver. We got a couple other aids in the car for it. Just making sure all the fitness is there and everything, and we'll be ready to go.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it on Friday at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in person. I think it's going to be a great race and a lot of prestige on the line, and I want to wish you and the entire team, since you're based in Indianapolis, best of luck on Friday.
Great. Thank you very much.
Ricky Taylor, co-driver of the SunTrust number 10 Corvette Daytona prototype, the Grand Am Rolex Series. He shares the driving with Max the Axe Angelelli. Going to be very interesting in that 3-hour sprint race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Friday afternoon. Well, last weekend it was the America Le Mans Series in action, and there Extreme Speed Motorsports got their first win in GT. We'll talk to the co-driver of the winning car and the team owner, Scott Sharp, when we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Up Motorsports Series and Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network. Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Are you looking for the ultimate trail to hike? Maybe you're looking to do the ultimate backpacking adventure. Whether you're a day hiker or an all-out backpacker, be sure to tune in to Backpacking America's Trails with host Rob Maureen. We'll explore some of the most fascinating places on Earth. In addition, we'll talk about backpacking gear, including reviews, safety tips, and more. Our experts will share recipes, destinations, and skills to make backpacking the most enjoyable experience for you. Listen every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
The American Le Mans Series last weekend was at Motorsport, or as we know it these days, Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. And as usual, it was a great battle in GT. In fact, it came down to a final lap pass. Now, at the time, it was for second, but it wound up being the win for Extreme Speed Motorsports, and the team owner and co-driver of that machine with the Johannes van Overbeek is Scott Sharp, who joins me now. Scott, congrats on getting the first win, man.
Thank you. Thank you. I tell you, it's in some ways, we feel it's been a long time coming. In other ways, you know, once we've really gotten in the midst of 2010 into the heat of this GT battle and realized the kind of competition we were up against, the strength of the factories, the resources all these teams have, we realized, wow, we got a lot of work to do. So it's taken us a little while, but we've certainly had a very much stronger 2012 season and feel like we've really been coming. And Lime Rock was a good weekend for us, and then to, you know, Mothport's historically a great Ferrari track, and it ended up being that way on Sunday.
And Johannes van Overbeek, you got to give it up to him. He made a great pass on a guy you normally can't pass, Jan Magnussen. At the time, it was to take over the second spot, but because Flying Lizards didn't pass post-race inspection, you got the win. I mean, it was a great pass. It was hard-nosed. He stocked him, did it when he had to do it, and, you know, passes like that can make a season going in the right direction.
Well, they sure can. I mean, they make a huge difference. I mean, Giannis did an incredible job. He just, you know, he drove the wheels off the car and poised and positioned himself so well for that last lap. And, you know, Jan made probably a little bit of an uncharacteristic mistake opening up that door. I think obviously 100% focus on trying to see what he could do to get by the Lizard car and forgot about Giannis sitting there. So he capitalized on that, which was great. Yeah, I just can't say enough for the whole team. I think I've been dying to get our first win. You know, you sort of take a little bit of a breath, but, you know, it's all about being competitive every weekend. I think that's what I walk away from Osport, even almost equally as excited about. And that's just the way the car ran all race. You know, when I was in the car, I was pretty much chasing down Jorg and, for the lead and, my whole stint, the car got stronger and stronger and stronger the longer we went. That sort of has been our strength lately. About the last three races, you know, we have a car that maybe isn't the best to qualify at, maybe isn't the best right out of the gate on cold tires, whether it's on restarts or the initial start. But as the long run goes, or maybe I should even say the longer the run goes, but as others fall away a little bit, the better we get. And a lot of hats off to all the work that the team has done to get us there. And hopefully, that's a great onus for the rest of the season.
A little strange, too. You didn't know about the win till sometime after the race ended when the Flying Lizard car didn't pass post-race inspection. I've been there a year ago when I was doing announcing with the series and standing there and announcing the podium, and suddenly someone comes up, oh, no, we finished third. They got a penalty here. But at least that happened at the track. You didn't even know you had won until later on, and you weren't even at the track.
You're right. You know, Ed Brown flew out of out of Canada right after the race. So I hurried and scurried and thanked all the guys and rushed out of there to get a ride back with him. And right as we're getting ready to take off, we heard word that possibly the lizard car failed the stall test, but really hadn't had full confirmation or even knew what the repercussions of that were. So we sort of all sat there biting our nails, waiting to hear for 3 hours as we're in the plane. And we finally landed in Florida. We got the good news.
Now, the Ferrari F458, we've seen it actually compete very well in Europe. It seems to be doing okay over in the Grand Am Series, but a little bit of struggle in the American Le Mans Series. I know it's been a process for you and the team, and one of the things that I don't think a lot of people realize is you're not getting factory updates or factory help during the season. It's all up to you. We're Corvette. We know they're working at Pratt & Miller all the time. We know BMW is working all the time, and we know the Porsche factory is working all the time for their teams. So you've really got to put in the work, and you have done that with your team.
Well, you're right. That's the way Ferrari does. I mean, does their GT program. I mean, even AF Course, which maybe is the sort of quasi factory team over in Europe, they really don't get much development either during the season. You know, Ferrari will do a big sort of update annually in the off season for the start of the next coming season, and then really not much comes throughout thereafter. So. It's such a shame in so many ways that I think that the majority of the public just doesn't understand the depth of the GT field, and I don't mean just in car number or even just in competitiveness. Each of these teams is, you know, world class type drivers, legendary teams that has huge experience of winning all over the world, as well as huge factories behind them that literally can react to issues very quickly. And that's really, I'd say, their biggest strength. You know, if there's a persistent understeer in the car, just let's talk about that, you know, as an example, for two or three races in a row, boy, the factories can turn and redesign key components on the front suspension, you know, within a week or two. You know, we don't have that luxury, so really, but recognizing that that's the game you're in, we've had to make ourselves able to react like that. So for us, you know, we went to Laguna. Well, we started off great at Sebring. You know, had some issues in the race with some other cars, but we had a very fast car. Once again, Long Beach had a very fast car. Laguna wasn't so good, and we walked away from Laguna. We knew we were not going to Le Mans, and we spent really working our tails off for those next 7 weeks. We developed, we tested, and I just can't thank the whole team and engineering staff and everyone enough, because I think we realized, hey, if we're going to turn this into a race-winning year, we need to up our game now, and I think we've done that.
And I don't think fans also pay attention to a lot of times where one of the things that they do in the American Le Mans Series is try to keep the cars even, and there might be a new rule. It might be restricting the airflow. It might be something else on the car. And I think last year we saw that with the factory help BMW got. Every time they got a little bit of a tweak to go the other way, maybe to slow them down, make them more even with the rest of the field, then they would work hard to find that next one. And that's something you have to do all the time, because you never know when there's going to be, aha, we need to make you a little more equal with everybody. That rule can come out.
Well, you're right. You know, it's a true balance. It's not an easy job by the series. But take what's going on this year. You know, certainly Corvette's had a lot of breaks since last season. They've also worked very hard. I think they have probably, most would say, the fastest car week in and week out right now, certainly the top speed fastest car. But, like, you know, we went to Laguna and we're all very surprised. In one foul swoop, several positive changes were given by the rules to the Porsche. You know, Porsche designed a car this year that had a wider front tire. Everyone expected that to be faster, but something sort of didn't pan out for them, and they were slower. And so the rules adjustment gave them a bigger restrictor, gave them a little bit more downforce, and I think also took off a little bit of weight. And that was a lot of changes all at once, and everyone was all up in arms. You know, it didn't pan out for them at Laguna, but it ended up, you know, they won at Lime Rock, and then, you know, it looked as though they were going to win it. They were going to win Mosfort, so they got the tech. But, you know, so you're right. I mean, I think as a team, you got to just keep working as hard as you possibly can, and you got to hope that there's obviously always politics and everything, but you got to hope that the series will make the right adjustments and try to keep the field as level as possible.
Now, not only has the Tequila Patron Extreme Speed Motorsports team been running in the American Le Mans Series, but you've been dabbling over in the Grand Am Rolex Series. And that's a whole completely different Ferrari from the one you're running in the America Le Mans Series. I mean, they are completely two different types of cars because of the requirements that Grand Am has on their machines to make them more like the street car.
They are. You know, it's been fun for us this year. We've done just a handful of races, starting at the 24 Hours of Daytona. We did that as the whole team together. You know, we always have the two guys in each car normally running an ALMS, and it was fun for all four of us to get in one car together. But then we've run a few different races beyond that. But, yes, that's a car. It's still a 458 Ferrari, but basically it's, I'd say, halfway between a road car and a full-on, professionally every component built race car like the GT2 car is. So it's somewhere in the middle. It's very close, very, very close, I should say, to a GT3 car. And that really is a kind of classification that throughout Europe is getting wildly popular at the moment. So it's a little bit less expensive, and there are some components on the car, even some components in the suspension that are production car pieces. So It is much closer to a production car than the GT2 car.
Scott, where do you feel you are now? Now that you've gotten the win, we've seen flashes along the way the last year and a half or so going, hey, they're going to get a win this weekend. Didn't happen. You finally got this win. Now, does that momentum start building? You've had some races here where you've seen great things going for you. Can you carry it on? As you mentioned, I mean, the competition is so tough. You can have a great car, and it just doesn't happen that weekend.
Yeah, you're so right. You know, we've had some chances, I think, thought we really were in position for a win, and it stuck away from us one way or the other. And so it is great to get our first win. But really, the goal in my mind is to continually be racing for wins every week, obviously. That's everyone's goal. And so getting one is a nice sigh of relief. It's a good shot in the arm to the team and all the incredible work that they've been doing. But I guess I'm most excited just about our rising level of competitiveness. To me, what I've said to the guys for the last couple of years, we got to get ourselves in a position where we're getting podiums regularly. And when you're getting podiums, those are going to turn into race wins. And I think we're really close to being at that point of fighting for the top three everywhere we go. And sometimes strategy, pit stops, the track, whatever it might be, is going to go your way. And that, I think that podium finish is going to turn into a race win. And that's sort of what happened for us at Mosport. You know, that's always, like I said, historically a good track for Ferrari. You know, BMW, I think they've got the most downforce in the GT right now. So you go to a track like that with such a long straightaway, they're a little bit hampered. But conversely, they're going to go to the next race in Mid-Ohio with all that downforce. That's a downforce racetrack, and they're I'm sure, going to be the car to beat. So some tracks favor you, and some tracks favor some other cars, and you just got to keep counting it out every weekend.
Well, Scott, again, I want to congratulate you, the entire team, for getting the win at Mosport, and I know there's going to be many more down the road, and good luck at Mid-Ohio coming up.
Thank you so much, Larry.
A very happy car owner and co-driver, Scott Sharp, Extreme Speed Motorsports, been running two cars, Guy Cosmo, Ed Brown, who is the head of Tequila Patrol in car number two. And as you heard, they also been dabbling in the Grand Am Rolex Series with the Ferrari there. Well, next up, we will turn our attention to the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series. How about Antron Brown getting a win last weekend in the Mile High City? Next up, a stop at Sonoma. We'll talk to Antron when we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Motorsports Series at VoiceAmericaSports.com.
High school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Ready for in-your-face sports? Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about? Either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go. You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steel, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steel Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional, take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Tune in to a show about making a comeback and what really goes on behind the scenes with your favorite athletes and beyond. Listen for The Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. A lot of people believe what they read on the internet, hear and see in the media, and on the news. We're going to give our guests a chance to tell the real story without the extra hype. It's not just sports, although that will be a focal point of the program. We'll also look at the world of celebrities, music, modeling, and more. Listen every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
The NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series right in the midst of its Western Swing. It began last week in Denver. Moves on out to Sonoma, California. And this gentleman, well, he's riding high. He got the win last week in Top Fuel by 0.002 seconds. And that's Antron Brown. Antron, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It just, it was one of those wild weekends out there, Larry, just trying to keep our head down, keep it buckled down. And the mountain will steal your lunch money from you, man. So you just have to be on your P's and Q's. And our Macco guys did a phenomenal job out there. Brian and Mark are two crew chiefs, and our boys dug deep. And before we came out there, we did it with a brand new, totally new car that was built by our Fab Shop guys, Norman and the boys, and our CNC guys, Tom and Richie, and the rest of them. And they really put their heads together, man. And man, I couldn't be more grateful for the car that they gave us out there.
Well, when you look at it, too, and I'm seeing more and more of this every time the NHRA runs, and it seems like all the different divisions, it's not unusual now to see a couple of thousandth of a second be the deciding margin.
No, really, since in NHRA racing, since our fuel classes went to 1,000 feet and that the rules have not changed in the last few years, our competition has gotten real stout, where the bigger teams that could always develop new technology and go forward, I mean, now that's been put on the back burner, where everybody's developing the same deal, where all the other teams really caught up, and a lot of teams got a lot of good key personnel, you know what I mean, where younger crew chiefs are coming up, and teams are growing, and you can see where they're coming out there and they want to win. They know what it takes to win, because all the younger guys that were on those championship teams have spread out and became assistant crew chiefs and crew chiefs on other cars, and they're bringing that same chemistry over to the teams that didn't used to have it. And now our classes are the most competitive I think they have ever been in the history of the sport.
And that's why teams like yours have to do what you just talked about, build a brand-new race car and bring it to the track, because if you don't keep working and working and developing new machines and new clutches, whatever, you're going to be left on the sideline.
Oh, for sure. And our deal is that we just don't want to get into the countdown, because you look at the countdown now. The countdown's only four races away. And we just want to go into countdown with new pipe, like where the car responds like it should respond, because it's all new tubing, where you don't want to have nothing break down or nothing to be subpar or just par when you go into countdown, because you have six races to win a championship. And if you go out there, just mediocre, you're not going to get the job done. And last year, we know what it feels like. We just fell short by just like a couple of rounds of racing. We went in there with being back 20 points from winning the championship last year. And we just fell a little bit short, and that hurt us. And this year, we want to go in there with a better shot. And so we're just sharpening our pencil, and we're just dotting all of our I's and crossing all of our T's. And we just want to have ourselves in a better position to have a chance to win a championship.
And Antron, you mentioned that 20 points, and right now we've got four races left until the cutoff for the countdown to one, And if you're the number one guy going in, you get a point advantage. You get, what is it, I think 30 points. How big is that? Right now you're in second, and you're only 11 points behind your teammate.
That's huge. I mean, our race in this year has been tight enough where we didn't even really need to count down where we reset the points and make it more interesting for the fans. But it's just going to make it even more tighter because it's going to bring back everybody in play. And right now, there's been five cars right now that's been at the top of the field, close to points, from Morgan Lucas to Steve Torrence to myself to my two teammates, Spencer Massey and Tony Schumacher, that have just been going off this year. You know, with race wins and being there to the finals every round, where we've really been pushing the envelope. So now you're going to bring in another five cars that are capable of winning races, and now their stuff are coming on strong. So it's going to be pretty strong. It's going to be really, really strong. Can't wait to see them when the countdown starts. It's going to be just really interesting to see what all of us are going to do, because we're going to be all pins and needles and all nervous to get it started.
Absolutely. And maybe the guy to watch is the guy that's in third right now, who's your teammate, the Sarge, Tony Schumacher, because once he finally got that monkey off his back going so long without a win, he's a guy that now on that team is headed in the right direction. And you got to be looking over your shoulder at him and everybody else that you mentioned. I mean, this thing is going to be wild.
Oh, it's going to be crazy. And Tony and the U.S. Army team, they know how to get the championship stuff done. And trust me, they're right there. They just came off of a win back in Bristol. So they've been pushing on strong, and they're right there, man. And they were first in points for a while. Now our teammate Spencer's in first, and now we're in second. So it's been flopping back and forth like that all year long. And my hat's off to all of our DSR teams, man, because they've been doing an incredible job. And we've been pushing each other. And I think that's what's been keeping us 1, 2, or 3 in points, is that we've been pushing each other as teammates to another level. And that's the level we're going to need to be on when that countdown comes, because those Al Nabi cars are right there with Sean Langdon and Khaled Belushi. I mean, those guys are running strong too. So there's so many guys out there running strong that we've all got to be on our A-plus game, and we have to be at that another level if we want to get that championship.
We're talking with Antron Brown here in Pit Pass USA, the driver of the Matco Tools, top fuel dragster for Don Schumacher Racing, just coming off a win at Denver. And you're going to a place at Sonoma, California, where you are a two-time winner. You got to feel good about going there.
Oh, I'm real excited to go to Sonoma. I don't know what it is about that racetrack, but I always like going there. It's always relaxing, and the atmosphere is just awesome, laid back, relaxed, where you're up in the kind of mountainous area, but you're near the bay. You have good sea level weather, and it's wine country. You know, everybody's just out there just relaxing and chilling out. But then you have all of our vivid NHRA fans coming out there, which makes it just it just makes it cool, because when you're back in the pits, they're coming there pumping you up, and that's what gives you the fuel that drives you, I guess, when you go to Sonoma, because it's part of drag racing history out there, also out there, you know, at Finneon Raceway. So we love going out there, and I can't wait to go out there and just put our head down to get back into that grind.
How key is it for you to go out and get a very good run the first time out in qualifying, so you can maybe play with some things in the other three rounds? Because you're going after wins, you're trying to get that number one position, going into the countdown to one, yet you want to say, okay, can we do this, can we do that, to be prepared for that run in the countdown to one?
Well, Larry, let me tell you something. If you can start the race weekend off with the first round of one good A to B pass and it's strong in the field, it just really sets up the rest of your weekend. Because then when you're going into the night qualifying session, you got a lap down the track, the car's in sync, then all you have to do is just pick on little certain areas. We're not trying to get in the field, because that one night qualifying session pretty much sets you up for the rest of the weekend. So you want to have one good first run Friday in the afternoon, and then Friday night you got to hit it hard. Because that's pretty much what sets the field. Once you get that Friday night in, if you're 1, 2, or 3, you're probably going to stay 1, 2, or 3 on Saturday, because Saturday you're going to run during the daytime at the highest part of the day. So that kind of, and then that kind of gets you ready for elimination days, which you're going to be running during elimination. But what sets the field is Friday night. So that first qualifying run, like you just talked about, is so crucial. Man, if you mess that one up, You're kind of behind the eight ball, and you have a crapshoot Friday night to try to throw down a really good run to get you in the show up high and to get some good qualifying points, man. That's where it boils down to, and that helps you get lane choice for Sunday. And when you get lane choice, that pretty much sets you up for Sunday to doing what you have to do on Sunday.
What are the quirks of the track out at Sonoma, other than you're surrounded by all these people drinking wine?
I think the only bad part about Sonoma is that the weather change. The change is so drastic. It's like when you're there in the sun, it could be really hot, and then once the sun goes down, it gets really, really cool. And what you could tell is the track is concrete to past half track, right? And you have a joint there between the concrete and the asphalt. Well, you could see the track expand during the daytime where it actually takes like this 6-inch piece of foam and push it literally out of the racetrack. And then in the evening time, you can see where the track reattracts, where it goes, like the concrete, like unswells and goes away from the asphalt, where you have to stick a piece of foam in there to take up the big gap. So you could tell that track variance, and it changes the bump and the transition on that racetrack. And then when that happens, it makes a havoc on the crew chiefs, because they got to figure out how to make the car go across a smooth seam, which is during the day, to where it's got a little bump at nighttime, where you're going the fast that you need to go to actually back it off to get over that bump, because it makes that transition bigger at nighttime when the track just shrinks down.
Well,
that makes it real challenging out there.
Absolutely. Well, it's always challenging anyway, so just add a little more into it, make it even more fun for everybody. But it is a great place to go. I know you're looking forward to it this weekend. Again, congratulations on the win last week at Denver, and we'll see you in Indianapolis in a few weeks.
Well, I appreciate it. I can't wait to get back out here again, Larry, back at home, and hopefully we can get some rain.
Antron Brown, who's in a battle with his Don Schumacher Racing teammates for the top spot in Top Fuel, and they are at Sonoma this weekend. Next up, we'll turn our attention to the Izod IndyCar Series and talk to Charlie Kimball when we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
America Sports.
Fantasy sports is where the action really is. Over 40 million people play fantasy sports, but rarely do they get to quiz the experts. Fantasy Insights is the name and the game. Tune in every week as Dish Adams and his guests clue you in on the fantasy football game, what's happening on and off the field, and how it will affect your fantasy team. These experts aren't just beat writers assigned to fantasy football. They live and breathe the game. Tune in to Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Sports have become a big part of everyone's lives today. We all have that team that we live and breathe to follow. We watch hours of football on TV, play Madden Sports on our gaming system, and our wives can't seem to tear us from the couch. If this sounds like you, or if you're a football wife who wants a few words, we want to hear from you. Listen for Life, Love, and Sports, featuring your host, Ron Dixon. Ron takes you inside the world of sports and finds out what you, the fan, are talking about today. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now, back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA, with Larry Henry.
The Izod IndyCar Series getting a break this week before going to Mid-Ohio. And joining me now, a Young man who just a couple of weeks ago got his best career finish up in Toronto when he came home second. Last weekend in Edmonton, a race that went all the way green, which is very unusual. Didn't get the kind of finish he wanted, but he is having a solid season. That's the driver, the number 83 Novo Nordisk Chip Ganassi Racing Honda, Charlie Kimball. Charlie, welcome.
How are you?
Doing great. Hey, first, congratulations on the runner-up finish at Toronto. That's a tough racetrack, and to get on the podium there, it was a job well done.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The whole race weekend went well for us. We started practice in the right direction, and qualifying we missed it a little bit, unfortunately. But you know, a lot of credit has to go to the 83 crew. They did a great job in the pits. My engineer and strategist made the right calls on the pit stand, and so as the race developed, they gave me the opportunity to make some aggressive passes, move forward, and come home with a podium.
And then you go to Edmonton, and it's one of the weirdest road course races I think I've ever seen, because there were no cautions, and you always plan cautions in your race strategy. That really had to mesh up a little bit.
Well, yeah, Edmonton was a different race for sure, but you know, similar to the old Cleveland races. You know, when we were talking in our strategy meetings, because it's an airport circuit and there's a lot of runoff, there are very few places for cars to go off in a way that's going to cause a full course yellow. So we sort of planned on it going green the whole time. And then if and when yellows come out, we adjust the strategy from there. But, you know, I don't know that any of us truly expected it to stay green the whole time. And it meant that, you know, qualifying back in 19th where I did, it was harder to make up the positions, and you should have really been on for a 13th place finish.
How grueling, though, is a race like that where you don't get a break for a moment or two just to kind of relax in the cockpit? You've got to go the entire length of the race.
Well, I think somewhere like Toronto would be more difficult because even the straight at Toronto isn't straight. So at a place like Edmonton, you've got two or three long straights where you can take a breath, you can kind of relax your hands and refocus a little bit. You know, the nice thing is that at Edmonton, they've repaved a couple of the places on the runway, so there are only two or three corners that are really bumpy. So unlike Detroit or Toronto, even Long Beach, it's definitely smoother and a little easier on us physically.
Charlie, I know you would like to be battling for the championship, but how do you feel about your season right now? You were 12th in points, you dropped to 14th after Edmonton, and you got a penalty there for aggressive driving or avoidable contact, as they call it, and dropped back several positions after the race. But how do you feel about your season this year?
Well, I think it's been a little bit glass half empty, a little bit glass half full. We've had some really good results, and the momentum from the get-go started well. I mean, the Novolog Flexpen car has been quick all year, and from St. Pete, where we finished inside the top 10 in our first race, you know, we've shown a lot of speed. We had a couple of mechanical failures earlier in the year that cost us some points, and a couple of mistakes sort of on track that is, you know, from my side. So it's not been a fantastic year, but it's also been sort of on par with expectations. Having said that, we're not happy because it's not exceeding expectations. So we're going to try and put together some solid results in these last four races. I had a really good race last year at Mid-Ohio, and we had a good test at the Infineon Raceway earlier in the season. So I'm looking forward to those two races, building some momentum back heading into Baltimore, and then the 500-mile race to finish the season at Fontana.
I know the teams are very, very good, and obviously you're with one of the best ones with Chip Ganassi. But I'm a little bit surprised how quickly the teams have adapted to the new race car, new engines, new everything this year, and it seems like everyone got it figured out fairly quickly, or at least competitively, because we've actually seen some great races.
Yeah, and I think you're definitely right in that, you know, the IndyCar teams throughout the paddock have been spectacular at how quickly they've gotten their hands around the new DW12. And a lot of credit for the great racing goes to Dallara and the engine manufacturers. You know, Honda's done a great job developing the engine throughout the season, you know, making adjustments. Even during a race weekend, you know, they make big steps and big gains. So I think some of the great racing you've seen this year is a credit to the package the series provided the teams. And then, like you said, the teams have worked really, really hard, especially during that five race in a row stretch, to maximize the package and create some great racing for the fans.
Well, and one of the other things, too, we sometimes forget it, is you as a driver had to adjust. And I know, just going back to Indianapolis when I had some time to really talk to drivers, there was a lot of guys talking about how different it was to drive these. You had to drive them differently than what the old package had been, and it looks like all the drivers have adjusted. I mean, that was a learning process, too.
It was. It definitely was. I think as drivers, especially the experienced drivers that have had more years driving the old car, had habits, and as a result, you know, it maybe didn't work with the new car. So everybody had to make some adjustments, and not just the team and how they approached the racing and approached the setup, but also the drivers and how we drive the cars. So it was it's been an adjustment, but it's a lot of fun to drive. I really enjoy having the turbo under my right foot, and the carbon brakes mean that I think passing has been better this year than it has in a long, long time.
Well, those of us that go back to the turbocharger era just love the sound of that, and it's got to be good that when you put your foot down, the car goes.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot to it, and it the series introduced the push to pass again in Toronto, and it's big enough with the additional boost that as a driver, you definitely feel it, and it makes a difference. So the strategy of when to use that and when to overtake and to use it in defense or offense, it adds a whole other element to the racing and the driving.
And Charlie, I've got to also talk to you about, of course, your personal situation with the diabetes and taking care of that problem in the car. You actually have a little telemetry on board to help everyone know what's going on so you can monitor that during the race. And it's kind of, you know, innovative. It shows people what they can do.
Exactly. The continuous monitor that I wear is integrated with the car's telemetry. So just like I check lap time and speed, I can check blood glucose as well. And the nice thing is it's more of a backup plan because the preparation I do beforehand as far as injecting my insulin, using the Levemir Flex Pen, and the Novolog Flex Pen, both the insulins I use, mean that when I get in the car, all I've got to think about is racing, and I don't have to worry about my diabetes management.
And that's going to also open the eyes of a lot of people what they can do, that they can live a normal life, that they can do anything they really want to if they do the right things with diabetes.
The amount of kids and families and but over the last 3 or 4 years racing here in North America, it's opened my eyes to how incredible those families are dealing with diabetes and their kids and the kids themselves overcoming, managing. So it's neat to see them at the racetrack and show them that if they want to be a racing driver, they can. But if they want to play baseball or football or climb mountains, you know, here are all these examples of great people, incredible people doing great things with diabetes, and it shouldn't hold them back at all.
Well, obviously, it has not held you back. I mean, really, when you go back to the season now, I think it's five top tens for you this year, which you're really settling in. And we sometimes forget this is just your second full year in the IndyCar series. We sometimes forget that.
Yeah, it's my second full season. I'm still learning. And this year, at least, we've been able to do a little bit more testing. And so I think the mileage has helped. But, you know, every time I get into the Novolog FlexPen car, I'm making improvements. And hopefully I'll do that throughout my career and continue to learn and make progress. I think that's one of the things that makes Scott and Dario so good is as teammates, you know, I get the opportunity to learn from them, but they're learning from me and from each other. So it adds a lot to the program having champions like that to help shorten my learning curve.
Well, Charlie, again, I want to congratulate you on that runner-up finish at Toronto. I know you're knocking on the door of getting that breakthrough win, and best of luck the remainder of the season.
Great. Thank you very much.
Nissan IndyCar Series driver Charlie Kimball, just in his second year in the series, driving for Chip Ganassi. And again, they will be at Mid-Ohio a week from now, along with the America Le Mans Series. We'd like to thank all my guests tonight. Of course, Charlie Kimball. We heard from Ricky Taylor, who we'll see this weekend at Indianapolis, Scott Sharp, and Antron Brown. I want to thank you for listening to the program. Don't forget, you can always share these programs with your friends. We are always archived, and you can find them at pitpassusa.com or go to voiceamericasports.com. Either one will work. Also, don't forget, you can send me an email with the guests, comments, whatever it may be, LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com, LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. We are on Twitter, very simply, PitPassUSA. We are also on Facebook. We are everywhere, which may be a problem. Who knows? Anyway, I want to thank you for listening to the program this week. Off to Indianapolis to take in a little racing. Hopefully, it's going to cool below 100 degrees this weekend. Wherever you are, take in a local race if you can. And again, tell your friends about us, and join us again next Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, for Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Up Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
For this week, time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.